Chapter 6. The Jewish People. God speaks to Abraham. Sargon the Great ruled over many cities in Mesopotamia. One of the cities in Sargon's empire was called Ur, and a very important man lived in the city of Ur. His name was Abram. The book of Genesis in the Bible tells us about Abram. Long ago, Abram lived with his father Terah in the city of Ur. He helped his father to run his business. Terah was a merchant. He bought and sold copper, gold, purple and scarlet cloth, cinnamon, and salt. He grew rich buying and selling in Ur. Terah should have been happy. Ur was the perfect place for a merchant to live. The city was built right on the banks of the Euphrates River, so the traders could sail right up to the city with their goods. But Terah lived in difficult times. After Sargon's death, his empire had fallen apart. The kings of the cities around Ur were fighting with each other. Tribes of wild people called Gutians were invading the land between the rivers. If Ur was attacked, the city might be burned. Terah could lose all of his riches in the war. Terah worried and worried. He asked the ancient Mesopotamian gods what he should do. He made extra sacrifices to the moon god, the special god of the city of Ur. He even went to Ur's largest ziggurat and asked the moon god to protect him from evil. The ziggurats were special pyramids built with steps up the sides so that priests could go up to the top and sacrifice to the gods. Finally, Terah decided that he would take his family and leave Ur. He took Abram and Abram's wife Sarai with him and set off to find a better place to live. They traveled along the banks of the Euphrates River looking for a city to settle in. When they arrived at the city of Haran, up in the north of Mesopotamia, Terah liked what he saw. Haran was a rich city where people came to trade, and the people of Haran also worshipped the moon god, so Terah felt right at home. Terah and Abram and Sarai settled into Haran. Terah started to work as a merchant again. Abram took care of the sheep, goats, and cows that Terah bought with all the money he earned. The whole family was doing well. But Terah was an old man, and after several years in Haran, he died. Then Abram became the head of the family. One night after Terah's funeral, Abram went out for a walk in the dark. He leaned his arms on the fence surrounding his flocks and listened to the noise of the sheep and goats. He wondered whether he should keep on farming or whether he should become a merchant like his father. Maybe he should go back to Ur where the rest of his relatives were. He thought to himself, "Maybe I will ask the moon god or one of the other gods to tell me what to do." Suddenly, he heard a voice say, "Abram." He looked around, but he didn't see anyone. "Who are you?" he said. "Are you one of the gods?"
"I am the one god," the voice said, "and there is no other god except for me." "What do you want me to do?"
Abram asked.
"Leave Haran," God said, "and go to the land I will show you. I will give it to you and your children. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless your friends and curse your enemies. And everyone on earth will be blessed because of you."
God told Abram to go to Canaan. Abram had never thought about going to Canaan. After all, there were no large trading cities there. There were no rivers. It was far, far away from Mesopotamia, the only civilized place that he knew. Strange, wild tribes lived in Canaan. Why would he go there? But Abram decided to do what God told him. He took Sarai, all his servants, and all of his sheep, goats, cows, and camels, and all of them left the safe city of Haran and started off into the wilderness. Finally, they arrived in Canaan.
When they got there, God appeared to Abram again. "I will make an agreement with you," God said to Abram. "Obey me and worship me. You will be the father of a whole new nation, and I will give the whole land of Canaan to you and your children and grandchildren. I am going to change your name from Abram to Abraham, because Abraham means father of many children. And I am going to change Sarai's name to Sarah, because Sarah means princess. Sarah will be the mother of a whole nation of people." Abraham thought this was very funny, because he was an old man, older than your grandparents. He laughed and laughed at God's promise. "How can Sarah and I have children?" he asked God. "Nothing is impossible for God," God said. And the next year, Sarah had a baby, when she was at least 90 years old. Abraham and Sarah named their son Isaac, which means laughter, because they had laughed at God. Isaac had a son named Jacob, and then Jacob had sons, 12 of them. These 12 sons all had families of their own. All of these families lived in Canaan. Eventually, each one of Jacob's sons had a whole tribe of people named after him. The tribe of Judah was named after Jacob's son Judah. The tribe of Benjamin was named after his youngest son Benjamin. These 12 tribes became known as the Nation of Israel, or the Jewish people. Note to parent. For more on this story, please see Appendix 4 on page 329. Joseph goes to Egypt. Jacob's 12 sons didn't always get along with each other. They all wanted to be their father's favorite. But Jacob loved his son Joseph the best. The book of Genesis in the Bible tells us about Joseph and his brothers. One day, Joseph was out in the fields with his brothers, watching his father's sheep. Suddenly, he heard his father Jacob calling, "Joseph! Joseph! Watch my sheep for me," Joseph told his brothers. He ran quickly to his father's tent. "Yes, father?" he asked. "Joseph," Jacob said, "you are very special to me, so I've made you a beautiful coat to wear." He held out a beautiful coat, as colorful as a field full of flowers, and as soft as a cloud, trimmed with a border of purple. Joseph could hardly believe his eyes. He was used to plain clothes made from the skin of goats and the wool of his father's sheep. He took the coat and slipped it on. "Thank you, father," he said. "I'll always wear it, even while I'm tending the sheep." And he ran back to his flock of sheep. "Look, Judah," he shouted. "Look, Benjamin. Look, all of you. Father made me a special coat." His brothers stared at the coat. "Why didn't I get one?" Judah asked. "I'm older than you are. Why did father make a coat for you and not for any of the rest of us?" All the brothers grumbled and complained about Joseph's coat. But Joseph wore the coat day and night. He boasted about his coat. He bragged about how much his father loved him. Finally, the other 11 brothers could stand it no more. One morning, they were all out in a field a long way away from Jacob's tent when they heard Joseph coming. "Here comes our father's favorite," they complained. "Let's get rid of him so that we never have to hear him brag about his colored coat again." And when Joseph came, they grabbed him, took his coat away, and threw him into a pit in the ground. When they saw some desert traders coming along, they pulled Joseph out of the pit and sold him to the traders as a slave. Then they smeared some goat blood on Joseph's coat and took it back to their father. "Look," they said, "we found this out in the desert. A lion must have killed Joseph." Jacob wept and wept because he thought that Joseph was dead. But the desert traders took Joseph down to Egypt and sold him to the Pharaoh of Egypt as a slave. Down in Egypt, Joseph lived in the house of Potiphar, the captain of the Pharaoh's guards. He missed his father. He cried at night because his brothers had been so cruel to him. But he worked hard in Potiphar's house. Soon Potiphar took notice of him. He trusted Joseph more and more and gave him more and more responsibility. Soon Joseph was running Potiphar's whole household. But Potiphar's wife decided that Joseph had too much power in her husband's house. She told lies about Joseph to Potiphar. Potiphar believed his wife, and he had Joseph thrown in jail. "What will happen to me?" Joseph thought. "Will I never be free? First my brothers sell me as a slave, and then I end up in the Pharaoh's jail. What will I do?" One morning, one of the other prisoners looked troubled. "What is the matter?" Joseph asked.
"I had a strange dream," the man said. "I dreamed that a vine grew up out of the ground right in front of me. The vine grew branches, the branches grew grapes, and the grapes got ripe, right there in front of my eyes. Then I squeezed the grapes into a cup and gave the cup to Pharaoh."
"I know what your dream means," Joseph exclaimed. "It means that Pharaoh is going to take you out of jail and forgive your crimes."
"How do you know?"
the dreamer asked. "Only God knows what dreams mean," Joseph said. "And he showed me the answer to your dream." Sure enough, 3 days later, soldiers appeared at the jail's door and took the prisoner away.
"You've been pardoned," they said. "You can return to Pharaoh's palace and work for him again."
As the dreamer was walking away, Joseph called after him. "Remember me. Tell Pharaoh that I am innocent so that I can get out of jail." But the dreamer forgot all about Joseph, and Joseph stayed in prison for months and months and months. One night, the Pharaoh himself had a terrifying dream. When he woke up, he said, "Who can tell me what my dream means?" Then the dreamer remembered Joseph.
"Great Pharaoh," he said, "the Israelite in your prison knows what dreams mean. His God tells him."
"Get him at once," the Pharaoh said. So Joseph was brought from prison right to the Pharaoh's throne room. Pharaoh said to him, "I had a terrible dream. I dreamed that I was standing by the river Nile and that 7 big fat cows walked up out of the water and started to graze on the riverbank. Then 7 ugly thin cows came up from the water and swallowed the fat cows right up. What does it mean? Can you tell me?" "My God gives me the wisdom to understand dreams," Joseph replied. "He tells me that the 7 fat cows stand for 7 good years, when the Nile will overflow, the crops will grow, and the Egyptians will have plenty to eat. But the 7 thin cows stand for 7 years of famine. The Nile won't flood, and your crops will die. Pharaoh, you should choose a wise man and put him in charge of gathering grain during the 7 good years. Store the grain so that the Egyptians will have something to eat during the years of famine."
"A wise man?" the Pharaoh said. "No one is wiser than you, Joseph. I will put you in charge of gathering the grain. You will be second in command to me."
So Pharaoh took the ring off his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. And he gave Joseph white linen robes and a gold chain to wear around his neck. He gave Joseph a chariot to ride in and men to run in front of him and shout, "Make way!" Joseph went all around Egypt, collecting grain from the farmers and storing it. Sure enough, for 7 years the Nile overflowed and crops were good. But then famine came. The Nile was low, and the ground became dry and cracked. The sun beat down on the fields, and the crops died. The Egyptians began to get hungry. Then Joseph started to hand out the grain that he had saved, a little bit for each family. In the lands around Egypt, people were hungry because of the famine. But in Egypt, everyone had food to eat. Up in Canaan, Jacob and his family were starving. There was no water, Their sheep and goats were dying, and the crops had failed. Finally, Jacob said to his sons,
I hear that they have grain in Egypt. Go and get us some.
Joseph's brothers walked for days and days and days through the hot sand to reach Egypt. When they got to Pharaoh's palace, they were tired and thirsty and sweaty. They waited in a long, long line of hungry people before they could go into the room where Joseph sat giving out grain. When they got there, they didn't recognize Joseph at all. He had been in Egypt for years and years. He had grown up, and he was dressed like an Egyptian. But Joseph recognized his brothers. They had sold him as a slave, and now they were here asking him for food. For weeks, Joseph didn't tell his brothers who he was. But finally, he could no longer bear to keep his secret. He invited them for a big dinner, and when dinner was over, he sent all his servants away. I am Joseph, he said to his brothers. Is my father still alive? The brothers could hardly believe their eyes, and they were terrified.
Now we are in his power, they whispered to each other. He will kill us.
But Joseph said, I forgive the evil thing you did to me. God sent me ahead of you so that you could come and get food from me during this famine. Go back to Canaan and get all your flocks and your families and your tents. Come and live in Egypt, where there is plenty of food. So Joseph's father and brothers and all their families, the Israelites, came down to Egypt and lived there on the banks of the Nile. The Israelite nation grew larger and larger. They kept on worshiping their one God, even though the Egyptians believed in many different gods. And as long as Joseph lived, Pharaoh was kind to the Israelites and let them have a part of Egypt for their very own.